Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, July 15th. I'm Ray Graff. We have a very special guest on the show today, a seasoned food editor who can help you tackle any culinary quandary. Hallie Bay Ramdeen is here. When last time she was here, I think she answered every possible question correctly, and we'll try to do that again today. If you got a food question, now's the time to get in line. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Hallie Bay Ramdeen, food editor over at thekitchen.com, is here. Your calls are coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday right after the noon. Okay, enough basketball chat. Let's get down to Vox Pop for the afternoon. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff here. And as always, we have a treat for you, an expert here in the studio to talk about any kitchen question you might have. Hallie Bay Ramdeen is the food editor at thekitchen.com. She has a degree in gastronomy, you know, the study of food and culture, from Boston University. Previously, she worked as an associate food editor at Better Homes and Gardens. She is a great guest. She knows, I think, just about everything, including about Nick's history, which I've discovered now. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Sorry, Zach the engineer. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the phone number, if you have a question for Hallie Bay Ramdeen, is 800-348-2551. So it's been four or five months since you've been on?
Yeah, a little bit, maybe shorter than that.
And if you recall the last time, it's legendary now in Vox Pop Food Friday history. you received a number of different questions.
Yes.
From everything from, well, Beano was a topic.
Yeah.
And you answered every question. I kept score. So this time, the bar is set pretty high.
I'm a little worried.
All right, let's not worry yet. There are no calls. What's new over at thekitchen.com?
We're thinking a lot about eggplant.
I love eggplant.
Yeah, and how eggplant is really a dish and a vegetable. Well, I guess it's a fruit, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's
like
a fruit.
Tomato?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
But, you know, same as rhubarb, we kind of think of it opposite as a vegetable, even though it is a fruit. But we're thinking about it as a replacement for meat.
Mm-hmm.
And how it really, you know, can be a substitute that satisfies in the same way.
It has a lot of substance to it, but I would think that if you cook it improperly, it gets mushy.
Yes.
And then it's not so meaty.
Yes.
So what's the trick?
Well, I guess you have to know what you want the outcome to be first going into it. So I would say the number one complaint people have about eggplant is its bitterness.
Really? I never noticed that.
You know, and that's the kind of response that we get. So either people are adamant that it's really bitter, or you get people saying that, no, it's not bitter at all. I've never had a bitter eggplant, in which case you are very lucky and are probably doing a really good job about selecting really good eggplant. Because eggplant get bitter if they're really old.
Okay.
Because of the seeds.
Just like people.
Yeah. because of the seeds, or if they've been... if they've been harvested and then they've kind of lingered about for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, we've always had success since I was a little kid growing our own.
Oh, there you go.
And it's really good.
Oh, there's nothing like a fresh eggplant.
You know, what's your preferred method? I remember as a youngster, we would grill eggplants on the grill. And I can't remember for the life of me exactly the way my father did it. But what's your preferred method of doing that?
For grilling the eggplant?
Yeah.
There's two things that I like to do. Either I'm slicing it into eggplant steaks and then grilling it until it's just tender enough to fold into, you know, a sandwich, or chop it up and put it into a salad. Or I will leave the eggplant whole and poke it a few times and then roast it.
Why poke it a few times?
So the steam releases.
Oh.
Yeah. And then roast it whole until it sort of collapses under its skin and the interior gets really custardy and creamy.
Mm. So when you make steaks, and that's the way we used to do it,
yeah.
Do you put oil on it?
Right. So eggplant is very spongy. The texture is very spongy and it's highly absorbent. So if I'm doing oil on the eggplant, it's a really quick swipe of oil and then directly onto the heat. So it doesn't have a lot of time to soak it up.
So pretty good heat too, or light, low heat?
A medium, really.
Yeah.
If you want your eggplant to kind of be crispier on the outside with that custard interior, medium heat.
So on the website, thekitchen.com, what was the most interesting eggplant recipe that you investigated while you were doing this?
Oh, we had a few people really tackle this idea that eggplant could be a replacement for your meat, and we have a vegan eggplant-based bolognese.
Oh, my gosh. And so, good? I mean, did you try it?
I have not tried it, but I have worked very closely with the editor who was working on the recipe, and I have a good idea what it tastes like, and that is probably really great.
Well, I think, you know, as one of the editors, you need to be trying these things.
Yeah, you know, the cool thing about The Kitchen, though, is that we're a remote team, so we're all over the country.
That's interesting. Yeah. And so, do you ever hobnob? Do you ever have a little convention with with the crew?
Yeah, absolutely. But we're working with like the top-notch developers. You know, everybody's on the top of their game. So, and I've been working with recipes for a while, so I can pretty much read a recipe and kind of suss out what it will taste like.
You're very good. And part of the website, you will answer questions. And that was what we had fun with last time on this show.
Yeah.
So if you do have a question for Halle Bay Ramdean, anything at all, 800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones and Mark in Salem. Mark, you are first. Or not. Is Mark there? Are you potting him up, Zach, the engineer? Ah, there he is. Hello, Mark. You're on.
Yeah. I have a quick recipe for eggplant and pork chops. It's one of the easiest things you can do, and everybody always likes it.
Okay.
A large cast iron skillet, I mean a good size one, put your pork chops in the bottom, put your favorite spaghetti sauce or homemade spaghetti sauce on it, put a cover on it, put it in the oven until they're pretty well cooked, and then put your sliced eggplant on top, add a little more spaghetti sauce, and cook it for another half an hour or 20 minutes, and you're ready to go. Everybody seems to like the combination.
That sounds good.
Sure does. Sounds like
So that's all I had to say.
Well, I like it. Thank you for calling, Mark. We appreciate it. It is a Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Halle Bay Ramdean is our guest. We're not just talking about eggplant today, but you can ask about eggplant. I like it. Can you ever make like a nice braciole out of eggplant? Try that on your website.
Well, there's the whole idea of doing like a rollatini.
Yeah.
So if you cut the eggplant thick enough but also thin enough, you can roll it and stuff it. And you could add beef if you'd like, keep it completely vegetable-based as well.
You had me at beef. Let's go to Paul in Shokan. Paul, you're on.
Yeah. My question is, I work with people with developmental disabilities. And sometimes one of the things that they want to do is to learn how to cook. And so, you know, we do simple things, but I didn't know if you had any suggestions for other ways to approach teaching people or even children, you know, how to cook that haven't done it before, or getting comfortable in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think, you know, the best way to start is to pick an ingredient that everyone is familiar with and kind of explore it in its every facet. So I always like the egg as the first thing to try out.
It's a messy way to start with kids.
Yeah, but it's also really fun. I mean, from the cracking of the egg to the whisking of the egg to whether you're doing like a hard-boiled egg, there's so many entry points of lessons that you can teach around it. And then, you know, it's quick and fast. And for the most part, you know, everybody enjoys the outcome. And, you know, if you're interested in, you know, teaching about, you know, boiling water, which seems a little, you know, simple, but
certainly beyond me,
but it's a great first lesson. And the egg can illustrate that in a really clear way. Or if, you know, cracking and what does it mean to whisk, or what does it mean to fry? The egg is an easy way to do that. Plus, you know, it's rather affordable. So if you're going to have many attempts, you know, it's nice to have something that you can do it.
And it doesn't really require sharp implements either.
Yeah, you don't need a knife.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the call.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. Our guest today is Halle Bay Ramdean, who is a food editor at thekitchen.com. Now, are you the food editor or a food editor?
I am the food editor, and I work with a team of about four other editors, and then we have a nice group of freelancers and developers and writers.
And it's such a slickly done website. It's really nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, let's get another call in here before the first break. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Clark in Albany. Clark, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
My question is just about baking, and I tried several different recipes, and I'm just trying to make a crisp cookie, like a almost like a biscuit kind of cookie, just something crisp and light. And I've done a lot with just, you know, trying to use butter and I just use an all-natural ingredients, not using shortening, and everything gets a little spongy, you know, when it cools for a while. Do you have any suggestions on that? I'm just trying to make the whole cookie keep crisper and not cake-like or soft.
I would say the first thing you should look at, you know, cookie recipes are a little tricky, so usually they have an intention behind them. So some cookies are meant to be soft and chewy. Some cookies are meant to be crispy and lacy. Cookies that are meant to be crispy and lacy tend to have a bit more fat, less sugar, and less flour. Sugar in particular is what usually leads to a more moist cookie.
So more butter.
More fat, yeah. Definitely more fat. And the cooking temperature is something to pay attention to as well. Oftentimes, a little bit higher will get you a crispier cookie.
Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, you want to follow up there, Clark?
No. I mean, like, some of those make sense. I guess I got to try. I've tried some of those, and unfortunately, I don't have the recipe in front of me. I wish I had it. I could tell you what it is. But I'll work on that. That helps me out.
All right, man.
A little more of that would be better, and less sugar.
You know, it's a good way to go through life. More butter. It's just a good kind of a rule to live by.
And with recipes like that, you know, baking is a science. And it's really helpful to only change one thing at a time so you know what the variable is.
I like it.
So don't do all at once.
Hallie Bay Ramdeen is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number on this Food Friday. We'll be right back.
For WMT comes from Capital Roots, working to help people in the Capital Region access healthy, affordable, and local food, grow, educate, provide. CapitalRoots.org for information on how to support. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996. iMediaConsult.com. Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter, scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. And Big Y, for over 80 years, family-owned and operated market with 4 locations in the Berkshires with locally grown produce, fresh meat, and seafood. BigY.com.
It's Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here on your Friday. Now, gosh, we're already midway through the month of July. Our guest today on this Food Friday is Hallie Bay Ramdeen, food editor at thekitchen.com. And this one came in via email from David K. All right. How do you get good eggplant parmesan with that good flavor? Oh, it must be Parmesan. Parmesan.
Let's see.
How do you get that good? What is the good flavor? It's rather subjective, David K.
Yeah, but, you know, eggplant parmesan is at any good, like, red sauce joint. So there is, a standard that most people expect. The best trick I've ever learned about cooking eggplant, especially when you're frying it and breading it, is to soak it in milk first.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So soaking it in milk prevents it from absorbing all the oil when you're frying it. So when you make eggplant parmesan, soak the rounds in milk first, then go through the breading process, and then fry them, and you'll find that the eggplant's interior doesn't absorb as much oil.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of awesome.
That we will try. Let's go back to the phones here, and Nina in Rensselaer County. Nina, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I couldn't resist calling in because I'm making an eggplant dish as we speak.
Wow.
And this one is a smoked eggplant dish made with smoked paprika, and you can either use dried tomatoes or roasted red peppers, and it's made with bulgur. This particular recipe comes from Turkey, and as I was growing up, and I still make a wonderful summer dish of eggplant, comes back from my grandmother, I'm sure from her grandmother, from Russia, which is chopped eggplant. You roast it in the oven, and then you scoop it out, and you chop it with a little bit of olive oil and onion, and you put that on bread. So I'm just calling in to add my couple of recipes, and thank you so much for the idea of soaking the Parmesan in the milk, because that oil absorption is a product. So thanks so much.
Brilliant. Hey, Nina, thanks for the call. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 800-348-2551. Now, that was a loud call in our headphones. By the way, Hallie, if the headphones are too loud, that big knob will turn them down. I saw you visibly wince in pain. So you got to remember, most people who work in radio a long time have very bad hearing. So we crank the headphones
wincing
up.
Wincing in pain, but delighted by those recipes.
That was a great call, and yeah. Thanks to Nina. Nice to have somebody cooking while listening to the show. It's very cool. All right, let's go over to line five. And Lisa in Ghent. Lisa, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about pickling watermelon rinds, and I was wondering if you ever have pickled watermelon rinds, and if so, is it worth it, worth the work? And have you come across any tasty recipes and have any recommendations on recipe ingredients to add or omit?
Okay, so I have never pickled watermelon rinds, but I have eaten them very enthusiastically. I actually really, really love the white part of the watermelon. I think I almost like it more.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think if you're interested in participating in, you know, like a kind of cooking where you're going from the whole, you're using the whole fruit, then I think it's worth one try. And then after doing it, you know, you can decide whether it's worth the effort to do it in the future.
What does the pickling process entail? Now, I have my own pickling process, but what do you do when you're doing food?
Well, it kind of depends. So you can do a quick pickle where you're making this brine and you're adding the ingredients and you're sticking them in the fridge.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just there doing their quick pickle. And then there's canning, which you're pickling and then you're sealing the jar, and it has a much longer shelf life. It might be fun for you, Lisa, to just try a quick pickle at this point to really see if you enjoy the flavor. And then if you do like it, it's worthwhile to try the canning, unless, you know, you are in the habit of canning already. But in terms of what ingredients to add, I find that allspice is really delicious.
Allspice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They also recommended in an online recipe hot pepper flakes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried that?
I haven't, yeah, you know, like the watermelon pickles are fairly mild, so you can add whatever you like. You know, if you like spicy, then definitely go with the red pepper flakes. If you like a warm, nuttier flavor, then maybe like cumin or cloves or allspice is something you can try. And of course, there's still the option to go sweet.
Okay.
Thanks
great.
A lot.
Thank you.
So can you pickle anything? Can you pickle apples?
Yeah, you can.
Sure.
You can pretty much pickle anything. The question becomes, what's good?
Yeah. Oh, that is a good question. Have you ever had pickled eggs? Hard-boiled eggs?
Yes.
I kind of, there are times that I don't hate that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly.
There was one kind that I had. And
I like beet pickled.
Beet pickled?
Yeah, like beet pickled.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, those are delicious.
I remember having an egg, and I forget what they called it, but it was a hard-boiled egg, and it was pickled, I believe, and stuffed with sausage or meat.
Oh, wrapped around it?
Yeah. Inside.
Oh, interesting. Well,
yeah.
When the egg, a hard-cooked egg, has meat wrapped outside of it, it's called a scotch egg.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a very like popular pub treat.
Scotch egg. Yeah. Well, that was at a pub.
Yeah.
That's why it's a little hazy, my memory of the whole thing. All right, let's go over to Hugh in Lake Luzerne. Hugh, you're on.
Yes, hello. I heard a gentleman requesting recipes for children and other beginning cooks that were safe and fun, and we had a program for children in southern Pennsylvania called Friday Night Kids, and it was an inner-city setting, and they would come in, and they loved it, and we knew that we were getting them something in their tummies, which they didn't always get. The safest thing was graham cracker broke up into rectangles the way they're already meant to separate into rectangles, and then you would glue the parts together with icing and use Twizzlers And we would create airplanes, jets, and
like
propeller
it.
Planes, and using the Twizzlers for props and jets.
Cool.
That was a cool treat and very safe. Next was peanut butter cookies without flour. 1 cup of peanut butter, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 egg. And you get messy. You have to have clean-ups available. And you stir it all up, press them on the baking pan, and the kids love to make those crossed fork designs on them. Oh, they're really creative.
Yeah.
And then you put that in the oven until they're done. I think it's about 10 minutes. And you have to have the supervisor put them in and take them out.
Sure.
And then educate them about, you use mitts around these things, you know, don't do it on your own. And the final thing that we had lots of things, but one thing was worms. they would help us put spaghetti into a big pot, and then we would start it boiling because we wouldn't let them put it into the hot water. So you have to time it right. But then when it came out, we would scoop it out into a big bowl, and they would season it with olive oil, Italian seasoning, onion powder, and anything else they wanted. And then they would open their mouths like birds and drop the worms into them. It was a lot of fun.
Fair enough. Hey, Hugh, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good weekend up in Lake Luzerne. 800-348-2551 is the number. Halle Bay Ramdeen is our guest. Halle is the food editor at thekitchen.com. 800-348-2551. Over to Yolanda in Loch Sheldrake. Yolanda, you're on.
Yes, hi. I wanted to share a true eggplant. You cut your eggplant, and layer by layer, you salt it, and you put weight on it. And those eggplant slices have to be in a strainer.
Have to be in a strainer, did you say?
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
Put like a pasta strainer. Mm-hmm. You slice the eggplant, and you put a layer of salt, another layer of eggplant, and some salt, and then you put eggplant with weights on it, like hopefully tomato cans, and then you fry your onion, your eggplant, and that goes in sauce on top of spaghetti, and that is a true Sicilian plate.
Well, that sounds good. You should bring that over, Yolanda. That sounds very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that.
Okay, that to me is the true essence of the eggplant.
So
it needs to be fried.
You really need to put need to put a lot of weight on it, huh?
Yes, yes. And you let it stay about 3 to 4 hours, and the salt will have the water come out.
Interesting.
Okay, and then you fry your eggplant, and voila. You have the most delicious eggplant, in my opinion.
What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds good, and there's a lot of merit behind a lot of those things that she's saying. Salting your eggplant draws out the water, just like if you salt anything else, and is seasoning it and changing the texture to make it firmer. Do you rinse some of that or wipe some of that salt off? I imagine.
Yeah, I would wipe it because I want to have less water.
Right, right.
But you're not going to put those eggplants on paper, mm-hmm. on any brown paper or anything. You don't want to absorb any of the essence of the eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Sicilian recipe.
Oh, I love it. Yolanda, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
You too. Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. So there's one. I bet wasn't on thekitchen.com, huh?
Not 100%, but I think we had a story about the ancient salting debate on eggplants.
No, what's the debate?
Should you or shouldn't you?
Well, you should always add salt.
Yeah,
right?
Well, so I argued in favor of salt. I had an editor argue against it, and we kind of had someone weigh in with an interesting tip that she usually skips it altogether, and she microwaves her eggplant slices or rounds to kind of dehydrate them a bit to draw out the water.
Isn't that heresy, though, using the microwave?
I don't know. Is it better living through science? Maybe.
All right, fine. If you want to be modernist, okay. Let's go to Joe in Earlton. Joe, you're on.
Yeah, hi, guys. Great show, as usual. I hope I don't bore people with another eggplant question.
Oh, why not?
But, this just sparked my memory of the previous call. When I make caponata, I cut my eggplant into cubes and salt it and let it drain for a couple hours and be amazed how much liquid comes out of it. It seems to absorb less oil when you go to fry it.
Agreed.
And, but your discussion about the opening discussion about eggplant on the grill, I've done the slices before, excuse me, and I always oiled it. But I love to make baba ganoush, and I've always done that in the oven, you know, the same method as you described, pricked it and then just put it in the oven. But I never oiled it, so if when it goes on the grill, should I oil the eggplant?
No, you shouldn't, no. If you are roasting, are you doing it on grates, or would you be, like, sticking it in the coals?
On grates, yeah.
No, I wouldn't really worry about that. Maybe you can put some foil down if you're just worried about it sticking, but the actual act of it collapsing under the heat will happen regardless.
Yeah. And is that going to impart that smokiness to the baba ganoush? Because I'm thinking that might have been the original way it was made back,
absolutely,
you know, years ago.
I think the most traditional way to cook the eggplant for baba ganoush is to actually nestle it into the coals of a dying fire. Yeah, so you're charring it, really.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
All right.
I do that. Used to do that with Mickey's potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, great. As usual, great show, and keep it up, guys.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot. Our guest today is Hallie Bay Ramdean, food editor, the food editor at thekitchen.com. And, I'd like to know more about this debate. You know, did it get ugly between you and the other
it
one?
It was very civil.
You sure?
Yeah, it was very civil.
Okay. Because, if you really don't get along, we'll have you both on next time. It'll be great radio. Let's go to Emily in Plainfield, Mass. Emily.
Hello, Hallie. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
I have another eggplant comment question.
Okay.
Sometimes when I make eggplant parmesan, I heard Hallie say you should soak it in milk before you bread it and fry it. But sometimes what I do is I slice them, and often when I use eggplant, I'll slice them, salt them a little bit, put them in a colander, and let some of the moisture drain out, like everybody's been talking about. And I find that helps with bitterness, too. And then scrape off the salt, and then just brush a little bit of oil on and broil them instead of breading them and frying them, because it's so easy that way.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, and then you can go ahead and, layer it with mozzarella and sauce and cheese and do an eggplant parmesan. But if you're really attached that it needs to have breadcrumbs on it, you could still broil it and then dip it in your egg and crumbs.
Yeah.
Instead of frying it.
Or I think even to stick, I like what you're doing because it's really simple and streamlined. Maybe to get that crunchiness, you just add breadcrumbs at the very end when you're broiling it.
That's an idea. But yeah, I'm all about the easy streamline. If I can make it simpler, I will. But I kind of like that instead of frying it. Seems less messy to me.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
Well, thank you very much, Emily. We appreciate the call.
You're welcome. And just quickly, yes, I make baba ganoush, too, by just splitting the thing in half, salting it, letting it drain a little, then broiling that face down so the back gets all smoky and collapses, and then you scoop that up and blend it up with your lemon and tahini and garlic and good stuff.
There you go.
Sounds
good. All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. This whole broiling versus frying thing, I have to come squarely on the side of frying for most things.
Yeah. You know, it's the texture. So it's like if you want that silky texture from eggplant, broiling it, charring it, maybe grilling it for, extended period of time is going to get you there. If you want a golden brown, crispier eggplant, then you fry.
Yeah.
Or you brush with oil and broil.
Let's go to line number 3 and Bill in Somers, Connecticut. Bill.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay, I just have a comment. I don't pickle or can or anything like that. The fact is, I don't cook hardly at all. But,
good for you.
But something that I did find out that I could do was after you buy dill pickles in a jar.
Yeah.
After you've eaten all the pickles, take a 1-inch diameter cucumbers, slice them up, and put it back in the juice instead of throwing the juice away, and all of a sudden you have your own pickled cucumbers.
That can't possibly work, Hallie.
It totally works.
Really?
Works.
Wow.
Yes, it does.
Bill is on the money.
Well, you could save a few bucks that way. Good job.
Pickle juice.
Certainly do. And time, too.
Hey, that's great.
Pickle juice is like an unused
resource, natural resource.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. What else can you do with pickle juice? Can you make a cocktail with it?
Oh, absolutely.
No way.
Yeah, I can make a pickle juice martini.
Give me a break.
You totally can.
Have you ever done that?
I sure have.
lying.
And you can brine chicken with pickle juice.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A. That's their flavor behind their chicken.
That's the secret.
That's the secret.
I've never been to a Chick-fil-A. Any good?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'm gonna remain neutral.
Oh, good for you. You're very wise. Wanda in Longmeadow, Mass. Wanda.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
It's great to be on your show.
Thank you.
My question is, I get a lot of farm-raised beef, and they always give me big chuck steaks. Mm-hmm. Can I interchange those for recipes calling for brisket?
Yeah, you can. They're both recipes that benefit from braising, so that's cooking with the least amount of liquid required, plus a very long cooking time that helps break down all of the collagen in the meat and makes it really tender and tends to shred when you cook it for that long, so absolutely you can.
And the second question I have is, I recently grated some zucchini and made patties with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just can't use all that zucchini up, you know, the big gigantic one.
Sure.
Do you think grating it and freezing it will work? Because then a lot of water seems to come off of it.
Good question.
Yes, you can. So you have to take one step, and it's the step we've been kind of talking about a lot, is you have to salt it. You have to salt it and let it drain. I would even suggest after salting it, squeezing it through some cheesecloth to really, really work out that liquid. Then you want to spread it into a single layer onto
sounds like a great idea.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to spread
it. I love this show. Thank you so much.
All right, you finish your third thought, Hal.
just to get the best benefit, I would spread it on one layer onto a baking sheet and freeze it, and then maybe for like an hour, and then pull it from the freezer and then bag it up. So you're not getting a huge brick of the shredded zucchini.
Our guest is Halle Bay Ramdeen, and we'll be right back with the home stretch here on a Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number.
Support for WAMC comes from Pekarsky's South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org. Terrapin Restaurant and Bistro, serving mac and cheese, build-your-own nachos and sandwiches, natural beef burgers, tapas, original cocktails, craft beer, and local wine, lunch, dinner, and late night. TerrapinRestaurant.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop.
Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff here along with Halle Bay Ramdeen and one of our... very humorous tweeters here at WAMC Vox Pop. I just retweeted it. Said, dude, pickleback. And he sent me to the Wikipedia. A pickleback is a type of shot wherein a shot of whiskey is chased by a shot of pickle brine. The term pickleback may also refer only to the shot of pickle brine itself. What do you think about that? I think that's fairly disgusting.
I think it's delicious.
Okay. Alternately, the shot of whiskey can be chased by a bite of pickle. Well, there you go. It says the pickle brine works to neutralize both the taste of the whiskey and the burn of the ethyl alcohol. But the burn is half the fun, right?
Yeah, you have to be in it for the burn.
Okay, back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Wendy in Marlboro. Wendy, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about eggplant. I'm a 30-year vegetarian. I love eggplant. But as I read about it and people tell me, they tell me it's a part of the nightshade family. and nightshades are not really healthy for you. So I was wondering if you could speak to that and, you know, is there something you can do to eggplant to make it healthier or better, or what's wrong with nightshades? I think tomato and potatoes are also nightshades, and they're, like, great foods also. So if you could speak to that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, so I would just start off by saying that there are a lot of foods in the nightshade family, including most capsicums, so chili peppers, bell peppers, potatoes, tomatoes, eggplant certainly is a nightshade. And some people do have a sensitivity to them. For some people, it is associated with chronic pain or inflammation. I can't really speak to that from a health perspective. You know, that's not really what my background is, but I always like to tell people that, you know, it's a real relative thing. So if they haven't caused you any issues, I would hesitate to say to remove them from your diet based on that information. And if you're really worried about it, maybe, you know, that's something to consult with a healthcare professional about.
Mm. Well, Wendy, thank you very much for that. Let's go over to Nina, another Nina in Thurman, New York. You're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is not about eggplant, but I used to buy scones, and they were delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very flaky, and they were very buttery. But every time I try to make them myself, they're like doughy, and they're not that nice flaky crust on the edge. And so what am I doing wrong?
So we don't have a lot of recipes in the American baking canon that are very similar to scones. Maybe some biscuits, maybe a cream biscuit. But when you're making scones, the dough is alarmingly crumbly. So it almost feels like you didn't add enough liquid. We have a great recipe on the kitchen for making very classic currant scones. And the dough barely feels like it comes together. It has an obscene amount of butter and cream, and it's delicious. And it walks you through the recipe step by step with images. So I would recommend that you check that out. And just as a takeaway, really pay attention to the amount of liquid and fat. It should be not a lot of liquid and a fair amount of fat. And you want to use a cake flour that has less gluten in it. So you're going to get a finer crumb and less chewy texture.
What kind of flour? I'm sorry.
Cake flour.
Cake flour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I don't. I forgot what you told me. You were saying to look online.
Yeah.
On your web.
And by the way, the website, it's not spelled the traditional way of kitchen. It just occurs to me that you better spell it.
Yeah. So it's KITCHN.
And it's The Kitchen.
Yeah. So it's The Kitchen.
With no E.
With no E. And if you search how to make scones, that recipe will pop right up, and we will walk you through the whole process.
All right. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks a lot. You know, it occurs to me, we've had so many calls about eggplants. Mm-hmm. You and I were just sort of shooting the breeze about it before the show really started, and here we go. We've had maybe 20 calls about eggplants, and I bet there'll be some more.
Awesome.
Are you okay with that?
I love it.
All right. Fair enough. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Let's go over to Ray in Hudson Falls. Ray, you're on.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure, yeah. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Bluetooth, so anyway, I'm driving.
Okay.
I have a really simple eggplant recipe, an appetizer I make. If you take an eggplant any size, whether it's Japanese or just the regular black beauties, the big ones, and cut them into rounds, about a half an inch thick. I put them on parchment paper on a baking sheet. And with softened, unsalted butter, I just coat each side, cover each side with unsalted butter, one side at a time. Coat a side with butter, sprinkle fresh grated Parmesan and a little black pepper, flip it over, do the same, fill up your cookie sheet with them, pop them in a 350 oven for 20 minutes. It's a wonderful appetizer and very simple.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I do something very similar, though. Instead of the butter, I use mayo.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And so.
Great idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's right. It's just like an egg yolk suspended in oil. So it's the same way that mayo is a really great fat to use when you're making grilled cheese. It's a really great fat to use when you're making these eggplant because it works as a binder and it also works as a flavor agent and it's also fat. So it kind of does triple the work. But I love the butter, too.
Ray, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Now hold the phone. You just said something that has now rocked my world completely. Mayo and grilled cheese? Explain.
Oh, my gosh. This is, like, life-changing. You have to do this.
All right, please, right
so,
now.
So, when you make your next grilled cheese,
yeah.
instead of brushing the bread with butter, brush it with mayo.
You can't be possibly serious.
Oh, I'm so serious.
Really?
It's so good. And it won't burn, but it will also add flavor and crispiness to the bread.
I'm going to do it right now.
And it'll be golden and it'll be great. And you're going to be like, this is the best thing I've ever done in my grilled cheese.
I have a feeling that this is maybe the first time I've ever really gotten something out of this program that I can actually use. So this is great.
My big thing with food is minimal effort, maximum impact.
Genius. Absolute genius. Holly Bay Ramdean is our guest. Let's go back to the phones. And Richard in Colony. Richard.
Hi, thank you, Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wasn't going to call, but everything came together today, especially recycling pickle juice.
Yeah.
Not only do I peel my cucumber, or not my cucumber, but my watermelon rinds and put them in there. I put my hard-boiled eggs in there. And I hung out with some guys for a while, and we used to actually take lean pork and mix the pickle juice with pineapple and lime and pour it over the pork and leave it in the fridge for a week and eat that. And it was all just delicious. And you need to have a pickle martini.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about this leaving it in the fridge for a week.
the weak part is that I'm a little worried about the week. But
it went okay, Richard?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I've ate it for years, and I'm still here.
Hey, good going, man. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go over to Joe in Albany. Joe.
It's Joel, but that's okay.
Oh, Joel, I'm sorry. It says Joe on my computer here. Go ahead, Joel.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
All right, sir.
Listen, I have two. Your tip about mayo reminded me about... you know, a lot of people don't like their fried eggplant. So you spread it, instead of oil, spread it with mayo and your crumbs and bake it. And then bring it out and you put your sauce and your cheese and so forth. And it's absolutely delicious.
Sounds great.
That sounds great.
And people that don't want fried food, it's the answer.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Are you using panko breadcrumbs or like a traditional breadcrumb? What are you breading your eggplant with?
Panko.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Panko or whatever I have, you know.
Right.
Well, it's a fantastic idea.
Or even sometimes the Italian flavored breadcrumbs.
Right.
They're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for that. Boy, I'll tell you what, another great use for mayonnaise. Could do a whole show about mayonnaise.
You could. I think it's a very polarizing ingredient for a lot of people.
Why?
Texture.
Yeah.
The texture. But I think that beyond it being a condiment, it's a great ingredient that is has functional use.
Can you make any cocktails with it?
I don't want to try that.
Come on.
I don't know.
All right, let's go to Karen and Kanan. Karen and Kanan, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm a maple producer, and I'm always looking for recipes for using the maple syrup.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if you had any kind of generalized tips that I could apply to other recipes when I substitute the maple syrup for sugar.
Yeah, so let's start with baking. So maple syrup adds sweetness, obviously, but it really is a moisture agent as well. So I would think of maple syrup as a substitute for sugar and portions of the liquid, the same way that people swap in honey. So when you see that being done in recipes, that's a nice way to switch it in. I think quick breads are a really nice place to try that. You know, a banana bread or like a zucchini bread would be a nice place to try that. And then in terms of savory recipes where you're doing like a sweet and savory profile, there's always, you know, a brine, which we talked about the last time I was here. You can add a little bit of that maple syrup to the brine. The best turkey I've ever had in my life was a sage and maple syrup brined turkey. It was amazing.
How long was the brining process for that?
So it was a turkey. So it was 2 days.
2 days?
Yeah. But that same flavor principle, the combination of maple and sage can be added to pork chops or chicken thighs with the same success. And then you can always use the maple syrup as a glaze to finish different foods. I would just be careful because sugar burns very quickly, as I'm sure you know. So it's just about knowing when to use it.
Karen, thanks so much for the call. Over to Henry in Bern. Henry, you're on.
Hello. I'd like to thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Of course. I'd like to ask a question about what's the best way to preserve eggplant for long-term storage.
Is this fresh eggplant or has it been cooked?
Fresh.
Let's see. I mean, the number one thing you're going to want to do is start off with a fresh eggplant. And sometimes the best way to do that is buying it from, a place where you can kind of be guaranteed that it's not already old when you're getting it. But when you have an eggplant that's relatively young and freshly picked, you can store it for about 2 weeks in the crisper drawer.
Hmm.
Eggplant doesn't like to be moist, but for the most part, the skin helps prevent that. And if you stick it in a crisper drawer where the humidity is being monitored, you can get 2 weeks out of it.
All right, Henry, thanks a lot. Over to Tim in Rensselaerville. Tim, you're on.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to mention my mother's chocolate mayonnaise cake.
Oh, my grandmother made it too. Loved it.
Yeah.
So don't forget about that.
Yeah.
But my real question, I would like to make crispy, real hard rolls like you get out of New York City or the Bronx and things like that.
Like a Kaiser roll, that kind of situation?
Like a Kaiser roll, Tim?
Yeah, with the poppy seeds or the sesame seed on top.
What do you got?
I mean, that's just a matter of finding a recipe that is going to deliver that. And I wouldn't say that that's a popular recipe to find out there. Just
a good crispy hard roll? Well, that's
because
delicious.
Because people buy them, you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a
bakeries
good point.
Are doing a really good job of that. And so that
the baker we had up here has retired, and he didn't. I asked him if I could take over, and he said, well, no, you'd have to buy the place, so I couldn't.
And you're out in Rensselaerville?
He wouldn't give you the recipe, Tim?
You know, everybody told me that he went and bought his doughs in Schenectady and only baked.
Ah.
He also did the Danishes, fruit-filled Danishes, supplied all the local resorts and restaurants out here.
Yeah. Well, some of the hard rolls are, it's a raised dough, right? So it's just a matter of finding the right recipe. I would point you to some sources that are looking at kind of bringing Jewish deli recipes to the public. And there are a lot of sources online. The kitchen doesn't have a recipe for a hard roll, but that's making me feel like we should probably get on that.
So you can
come check us out, Tim.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. Well, that's good. You know, a lot of people who really know cooking shy away from baking.
Yeah, bread in particular.
It's tough.
Yeah, bread in particular. And there are some breads that are, easy to grasp, and I think people find their one recipe and they just kind of like stick to it and try to perfect it, but
ride it to the end.
Yeah.
Speaking of the end, we're almost there. Let's go to Jack in Worthington, Mass. Very quickly, Jack, you're on.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Mayonnaise, just to follow up a little bit, my wife takes it and she puts it on chicken breasts and then rolls it in the breadcrumbs and then bakes it.
Yeah.
And it's real incredible.
That's amazing to
me. And it makes it moist. And by the way, Ray, it is good with grilled cheese.
All right, man. I am actually going to do that. And so we're going to talk about that. So you had another recipe you wanted to talk about real quick, Jack?
I was going to tell you, Jacques Pepin was on the other day, and he sliced the Japanese eggplant about more than two-thirds of the way through, but left it together at the end. And then he put a flat of his hand, and he fanned it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fried it in nice hot oil. He breaded it very lightly and fried it in oil, and it was a beautiful presentation of the Japanese eggplant.
Nice.
Great.
Just quickly, I go to Philadelphia once a year just to bring back the bread and rolls because they tell me that it's the water.
Believe that. People say the same about Brooklyn pizza crust.
Water.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before, and water plays part of it.
Yeah,
humidity,
the minerality,
altitude,
yeah.
Everything. Well, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Halle Bay Ramdeen, another fabulous job today on the show. What's the website once again?
It's thekitchen.com, kitchen, no E, so K-I-T-C-H-N.
All right, and what's coming up after now the eggplant extravaganza of July?
Oh, I'm so excited for August. We're thinking about the Olympics, and that has inspired a story about Caesar salad. So Augustus Caesar, the empire beyond salad.
Fantastic. Well, we'll see you again soon, I am sure, and who knows where the show will go by the time we're done. Support comes from the Chef Shop in Great Barrington, celebrating 25 years, offering tools and services for cooking enthusiasts, including Zwilling knives, La Crusa Ware cooking classes, and knife sharpening, thechefsshop.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, new barn wedding venue and heated antique greenhouse, offering tailored catering, garden to vase, flowers, and four bed and breakfast rooms, gloriosaco.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer, blueherondining.com, and Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering fresh-picked or pick-your-own blueberries from Windy Hill's fields daily 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., windyhillfarminc.com. Thanks again to Halle Bay Ramdeen for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Barb King. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Well, that's it for the weekend. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for news.